James chapter 2. I introduced this portion last week. I'm going to review it, give you other illustrations, and then, in the will of God, pass on to chapter 3 the next time I bring the scriptures to you. Remember some basic things that are taught you. At times, a Christian will get up and give a good illustration from his life, tell you things that are funny, and you enjoy that. But if someone can point you to a verse of scripture that illustrates, that demonstrates the truth, and you lay hold on that, that's worth more than anything in the world. Because every illustration that we take from our own lives can have flaws that any illustration taken from the Word of God is perfect. So let's try to remember these things. So in James chapter 2, look at verse 14. 2:14. I'm reading from the 1901. It'll be a little different from yours, but maybe it'll help you to understand it, to compare these two things. What does it profit, my brethren, if a man say he hath faith, but have not works? Can the faith save him? Please understand, we're going to learn the kinds of faith contained in these verses tonight. The specific kinds of faith. I told you faith in other parts of the Bible, but we want to be sure that we can designate what kind of faith James is talking about when he tells us in these verses. What does it profit, my brethren, if a man say he has faith but has not works? Can the faith save him? That is, the faith he says that he has. Now, here's the test. If a brother or sister be naked and in lack of daily food, and one of you say unto them, notice, you see all this talk? In verse 14, a man says that he has faith. And now, here is a challenge, and here is the same man, and he's saying other things. If a brother or sister be naked and in lack of daily food, and one of you say unto them, go in peace, be ye warmed and filled, and yet you give them not the things needful to the body, what doth it profit? What is the good of it? Even so, faith, if it have not worked, is dead in itself. Yea, a man will say, here's some more talking, but this is a good saying. This is a challenge. Now, try to grasp this. The man in verse 14 says he has faith. Here, in verse 18, it's not that same man. It's someone that heard him say he had faith. And now, this man is going to challenge him. Look at verse 17, or verse 18. Yea, a man will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith apart from thy works, and I by my works will show thee my faith. You believe, and let me explain again, there's no difference between faith and believe. To believe is a verb, faith is a noun. They are identical. One is a noun, one is a verb. It says, you believe that God, there is one God, that God is one, thou doest well. The demons also believe and tremble. So you say, this is a remarkable thing. Here is a faith, here is a belief, and even the demons, the devils, believe in God, but it does them no good. Verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith apart from works is dead. Now, he's going to illustrate it. Was not Abraham our father justified by works in that he offered up Isaac, his son, upon the altar? I must remind you that he is giving an illustration of works that is confirming faith that is spoken of Abraham in chapter 15. In Genesis 15, the faith of Abraham is spoken of. In Genesis 22, the fulfillment, the working out of that faith is spoken. Was not Abraham our father justified by works? And did he offer up Isaac his son upon the altar? You see that faith worked with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And so the man that's doing this has had faith all along, a faith that's working, and the fulfillment of the command of God is the perfecting of that faith. By works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which said, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Please notice, look at verse 23 again. The scripture was fulfilled. For when the Bible said that Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness, that was a prophecy. And it says that in Genesis 22, that prophecy of Genesis 15 was fulfilled when he offered up his son Isaac, and Abraham was called the friend of God. 24. You see that by works a man is justified, and not only by faith. And in like manner, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, in that she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, even so faith apart from works is dead. All right. What I want to do is to go through this passage again and show you the different kinds of faith. Look at verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if a man say he has faith, but have not works? This is without works faith. Without works faith. Now, can this faith, the faith, without works faith, save him? And you can't tell it in English, but the Greek expects you to answer, no, it cannot save him. So you say, well, that is wonderful. I find that a without works faith cannot save a man. Well, is there such a thing as a without works faith? Yes, I just read it to you. And some people have without works faith, and it cannot save. Now, look at verse 15. Here is a without works faith, the illustration of it, when one clearly sees a genuine need, and he does nothing about it. But notice all the pious words that he has in his mouth. He says, go in peace, be ye warmed and filled, yet ye give them not the things needful for the body. Here is a without works faith. How do I know that this man has faith? Because he's so religious, you see. He's not an atheist who drives these people away, but he has the appropriate words to say, that they're empty words, and here is an illustration of without work faith. And the Bible says it doesn't profit in the least. 17. Faith, if it have not works, again, without works faith, is dead. That is the second. That is without works faith. It is dead faith. So you have dead faith without works faith. Both of them are the same, just looked upon in two different ways. Why does it have no works? Because it's dead. And what is without works faith? It is dead faith. All right. Now, look at verse 18. Here a man will say, I have faith, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith apart from works, and I by my works will show thee my faith. Now, here is working faith. This man has heard one say, I have faith. And he says to him, you say you have faith? Show me that faith without works. So here is a challenge to a without works faith. Show me that faith without works. And here is a with works faith. And he says, I, by my works, will show you my faith. Now please grasp this. It's so essential. It is not faith plus works that are two entirely distinct things, but it is a faith that works. That is what it is. It is inherent. It is alive. And therefore, it works. And here is a faith that inherently is dead, and it produces no works. And the man is challenged who says, I have faith. I can remember more than 50 years ago when a question was asked about creeds. We have the creeds of Christendom. And if you go to some churches, each Sunday, they will read or recite the creed and tell you everything that they believe. Thank God when some recite the creed and say they believe in Jesus Christ the Lord, God's only begotten Son. That is a true confession. But others recite it, and it's simply just like that faith that is the faith of demons. It is a faith that intellectually acknowledges what it says, but there is no trust in that faith. Do you realize that the demons, all the evil spirits, believe in God more than you do? They've seen God. They've been in the presence of God. They know that there is a God. But that belief will not save any demon. It will not save any man. Knowing that there is a God, that does not save you. Knowing that God has created does not save you. But when you know that that God created, and you know that God is, and you place your faith in that God, then you're saved. But there is such a thing, the Bible tells us, as believing in God, having faith that there is a God, and it does no good. No demon will ever be saved because he believes in God. And no creature will ever be saved because he believes in God. But if that belief in God is that God loves him and sent his Son to die on the cross for his sins, and he believes in the love of God and the death of his Son for salvation, that will save him. That's the difference in a believing that is intellectual and a believing that is trusting faith. So that is the kind of faith that is here. Now, look at verse 20, because so important is this kind of faith in its worthlessness that God gives us the same definition three times. Look at verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith apart from works is dead? Look down at verse 26. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, even so faith apart from works is dead. So these are the various kinds of faith that we have. And in this chapter that I've been reading, there are only two kinds of faith. There is a faith with works. There is a faith without works. There is a faith that is intellectual. There is a faith that trusts. There is a faith that is dead. And there is a faith that is alive. And if the faith is without works, if it's dead, if it's not a trusting faith, it is no profit. It says, what does it profit, my brethren, if a man say he has faith, but have not works? These three definitions of faith, dead without works, it is profitless. This is what God tells us. Now, there's another kind, and that kind of faith is a faith with works. And there is a challenge by the man that is talking here. He says, show me your faith without your works, apart from works. And I, by my works, will show you my faith. Please notice, that's so important. He is not speaking of works apart from faith, but he is speaking works produce thy faith. He says, you show me your faith without works. See, it was a workless faith. And he said, I by my works will show you my faith. So this faith that produces works is a living faith. It is a trusting faith. It is an obedient faith. And that's the kind that counts. And the thing that makes man so helpless is this. There is only one place that you can get it, and that's from God. It says this, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Notice, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. When a sinner is drawn by the Spirit of God, the plan of salvation is revealed to him, and he sees that he's lost, and that Christ died for his sins, then God miraculously working on him, faith comes into existence. And that is a God-given faith. And that faith will endure forever. That faith will work. That faith trusts. And it's a faith that comes from God. And unless your faith has been derived in that manner, your faith is profitless. It is dead faith. It is without works faith. It is undemonstrable faith, because you can't show it. Now, I want to add one little thing to it. I'll read it to you for the sake of time and convenience. Two scriptures. Listen to them again now. It says, therefore, leaving the doctrine of the first principles of Christ, let us press on unto perfection, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works. You say, well, I've heard of dead faith. Now it speaks about dead works. Yes, there was a dead faith, and there was a dead works. Now, listen to this verse also. It says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without sin unto God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Notice, dead works, you're cleansed from them, and then you serve the living God. Serving is working. So, think now and grasp this, and it will help you understand faith. You have faith without works is dead faith. Dead faith, notice. Without works, it's dead faith. So, workless faith is dead faith. But here are dead works. And dead works are produced by one who has dead faith. You say, dead faith? No, it's different for this reason. Here is a faith, and it doesn't have works. That's called dead. But here are dead works, and these dead works are not produced by faith, because it says, show me your faith by your works. So here are works, and there's no faith involved at all. That's the sad thing. And let me show you what happens in a moment of time when God miraculously draws a man and he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, two men went up into the temple to pray, and both of them are praying to the same God. And one prayer is a prayer without faith. And that prayer is unanswered by God. Here is one that will not lift up his eyes to heaven, and he smites upon his breast, and he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. They were both in the same temple. They were both praying to the same God. But one was a prayer of faith for forgiveness, to trust God for his mercy. And the other was an entirely different kind of prayer to God that did not result in faith. And the Lord Jesus said, the first man went home just like he came to the temple, lost. But the other man went home justified. So understand that there are dead works. And you realize that every man who has never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, one told me about him being an altar boy in the Catholic Church, and he would assist the priest as they went through all of their ritual at the Mass. Dead works. Dead works. And God says, repent from those dead works. Because there's one other thing, and I'm going to quote it to you. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says, you did he quicken, you did he make alive, when you were dead in your trespasses and in your sins. And so now, you say, well, we have three dead things. We have a dead sinner, yes. We have dead work, yes. And we have dead faith. So many dead things. And so go through the religions of the world and search out, and you'll find that unless that faith has been imparted by the Spirit of God drawing, it is dead faith. And you can find this man in the temple praying to God, and unless he's been born again, he is dead in his trespasses and in his sins, whereas he's telling God how good he is. God, I thank you that I'm not as other men. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all I possess. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not like this tax gatherer here. You see, he's telling God all the good things that he is, but he is dead in trespasses and in sins. And every man who came to God and offered sacrifices without a true, broken, and contrite heart, those sacrifices were worthless. They were dead works. And that is what David says in Psalm 51. He says, I would offer these sacrifices if they pleased you, but you do not desire them. Why? Because David said, you desire a broken and a contrite heart. And so when a man has a broken and a contrite heart, and then he offers sacrifices, God delights in them. But before a broken and a contrite heart takes place, all the works that a man does for God are dead works. And so what does that mean? That means that the baptism that I received before I was born again, the money that I gave before I was born again, all the good deeds that I did before I was born again, they were dead works. They were performed by a dead sinner, and it was acting upon dead faith. And so this is terrible when one of the most religious people in the world stands before God and he is dead and his faith is dead and his works are dead. You have to take the various kinds of sinners, but all of them are dead. And if there is death, there is no profit, there is no salvation. So will you remember that? There are only two kinds of faith. There is saving faith, and faith that does not save. And what kind of faith does not save? It is a faith that does not trust. It is a faith that does not originate with God. But it's something that man himself brings into existence. And that, for that reason, I told you about it. You'll find in Luke chapter 8, it speaks about some who believe they are a while. That's temporary faith. Why do they believe for a while? Because this faith is not of God. And so you have a faith that believes for a while, but when the temptation comes, then they fall away. Having told you that, please notice, you have a faith that believes for a while, but when the temptation comes, they fall away, proving that the faith was never living faith, it was dead faith. That, in the portion that I've read you tonight, when it speaks about Abraham justified by works, they were works of faith. Not works separate from faith. Works of faith. When the man says, now listen carefully, yea, you say that you have faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without works, and I by my works will show you my faith. Anytime the one in James 2 is talking about works, he is talking about works that are produced by faith. And there's every difference in the world. So any work that is not produced by faith is a dead work, and the faith is dead, and the person who performs them is dead. Whereas, when a man has been born again, then his works are living works produced by a living faith, and he is a new creature in Christ Jesus, having been born again. And so you have a living man with living faith, producing living works, and that's what counts. And in the temple, this is what is so sad. You would think that one lifting up his eyes piously to God, speaking the beautiful words that proceed from his lips, you would think that is a man of God. But you would think of an outcast that wouldn't even look up to heaven, smiting upon his breast, you would say, well, that's a poor, miserable sinner. He was for a while, but he got saved. And so this is what God is trying to tell us about dead sinners and their trespasses and sins, and sinners that have been born again who are alive, and they are to walk in newness of life as alive from the dead. This is what God wants. All right, now, we have two illustrations that we have. God is telling us about Abraham, and he's telling us about Rahab, the harlot. And I want you to see what a miracle has occurred here, because not many people know it, but the Jew every year went up and said, my father was a Syrian ready to perish, and also it confesses that they were idolaters beyond the river. Do you realize that Abraham, the father of the faithful, was nothing but an idolatrous sinner before God called him? And a Jew has to acknowledge that from his own scriptures. But God is able to save an idolatrous sinner and make him the father of the faithful. And it says that Rahab was a harlot, a prostitute. And yet God worked upon that woman, and God saved her soul. And you realize that she was a grandmother of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll find her in the genealogy in Luke 3 and in Matthew chapter 1. You'll find two genealogies, and you'll find in one of them the four women in Christ's life, his grandmothers. And the Moabitish woman, that's not good. A woman who was in harlot, and yet they were grandmothers of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, this is the encouragement, and I want you to see this. Turn back to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. And look at verse 3. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come unto thee, that are entered into thy house, for they are come to search out all the land. And then here is the woman that caused these men to be hidden and to escape. Now, look down at verse 9. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that the fear of you is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond the Jordan, unto Sihon and to Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more spirit in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. These are words coming from a prostitute because she has been converted. And she's mentioned in Hebrews 11 with all the others associated with the faith. By faith, Rahab the harlot. And so she had this genuine faith. Now, this is the encouragement that I want to give you. It is this, that whatever you are now, whatever friends you have, and whatever they are now, are they any worse than idolaters and prostitutes? You say, no. They may be vile sinners, but they're no worse than that. Well, Abraham, who was an idolater, God graciously reached down and gave him a call. And it says, by faith, Abraham was willing to go out from his nativity, where he lived, to a place he didn't know anything about, by faith. And when he did, God continued to work with him, and God saved Abraham. Abraham was justified now. In like manner, Rahab the harlot, here she is, living a life of sin. That's her whole life. Some people once in a while sin, commit adultery, but this life, the life of this woman, was all sin. But she hears that the nation of Israel is coming, and here is what is so remarkable. It wasn't gospel preachers that came and told her about the wonderful God, but there were those that were being destroyed. And so they come and talk about this God of the Jews. And it went to Rahab's heart, and she believed it, and she said, the Lord is God in heaven above and on earth below. That woman believed, trusted in God, and she said, now, I'm going to preserve you, and if I preserve you, I want you to preserve me and all my loved ones. So that is the courage that God gives us in this portion of Scripture. That people that have no faith, that have no prospect of salvation, can be saved. But then it warns us lest we be self-satisfied with outward professions of faith and religious activities. Let us not be satisfied, because God tells us that there is dead faith, there is worthless faith, there is profitless faith. So it gives us something to be afraid of, but then it fills our hearts with hope. So let us embrace these things and be sure that our faith is living faith that produces works, that it is of God, and then all shall be well. Time is gone. Let us pray. We are thankful, Father, that you give no uncertain sound. We are aware, Father, that there are works produced by Christians who have genuine faith, and they are living works. They are works, proofs of the faith that it is genuine in their hearts. And that was told us that there was a faith that produces no works, and then, Father, there was that kind of sinner that produces dead works. So let us not be deceived, but let us know that there was faith, saving faith, and any other kind of faith is faith that does not save. So, our God, let us examine our hearts and see if we have that living faith, or if we are simply religious sinners in a world that is quite satisfied to accept any testimony that comes from our lips. But when we are challenged, Father, may we be able to demonstrate by works that we have living faith. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.